How's everyone going? May you all be standing. Can we all stand? May you all be standing. Can we all stand? God, we just pray for an awesome night. God, it has been an awesome night, God, and we're just praying that will just continue on, God. God, we do thank you so much for everything you have done in our lives, for everyone here tonight. That it's just great, God, and we just want to honor you and glorify you even more, God. And Father, I just pray as tonight, there'll be three of us coming up tonight, I just pray that you speak through all of us, God, and it's not us speaking, but it's you speaking, God. And I pray that hearts will be open to hear your word, God. Amen. So there is three of us tonight. It's a tag team. We got an exciting, solid person up next. Then the youth pastor coming up third. You can all sit. Thank you, Andrew, for letting me speak tonight. Just thought I'd just say thank you. Devotion. We're going to speak about devotion tonight. And I've been asked a few questions that I can share on devotion and what I want to explain on devotion. But firstly, I just want to share a quick encouraging word that I've received this week from my boss. And it's extremely encouraging for me. And I just want everyone to hear it. That my boss told me that wherever I walk, beforehand, it's related to what Andrew was saying in the encouraging message. Before I walk, God's already won that ground. And wherever I go, God's blessing is right on me. And that means that blessing is going to be on that ground wherever I walk. And man, that is just encouraging. That wherever we go, God is with us. Jesus is right up the back of us and he's pushing for it. The blessing is already there. He's already won the ground. What can be better than devotion for God, on fire for God? If there's something that you wanna write down now that you don't want to forget when you leave, coming from me, it's just being on fire for God. That's it. Just being on fire for God. I don't like people that just not. Well, I don't like them. It's not that I dislike them or nothing, but I just want everyone to be on fire for God. And if there's someone in the leadership team on youth or something and they're not on fire for God, then there's something wrong, because then the core of the team is just broken. Everybody needs to be strong. And I just felt like tonight, like, explosion's only small, but there's some solid people here. There are some solid people here. Devotion, dedicated, committed to something. That's what we need to be with God. And devotion is the biggest part of our life, living a Christian life. It is the biggest. If we are not devoted to God, then we are missing out. Devotion is not three times a week reading your Bible. Devotion is not 7 days a week reading your Bible. Devotion is spending time with God 7 days a week. Devotion is reading your Bible 7 days a week. Devotion is praying to God 7 days a week. That's devotion. So let's devote ourselves to God 7 days a week and let's see God do some miracles in our life, because God wants to bless us. God loves us so much that he just wants the best for our lives. He just wants it all for us, and he's got it all planned out for us, and all we got to do is devote ourselves to God. It is very simple. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, as everybody's heard this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This is from God. This is from God in heaven that is just looking over us and loves every single one of us evenly, all the same. There is no one better than the other. He just loves us so much. And if we just devote ourselves to him every day of the week, then our plan goes out the window and God's plans comes in, and that's when we are blessed, and that's when we live on God's plan, and that's the most amazing life we can have. And that all comes from devotion 7 days a week. So ask yourself in your notes, write it down, are you actually devoted to God? Every single day. Are you putting Jesus first in everything you do, your relationships, your work, your school place, wherever you are you putting Jesus number one in your life? Number one in your life. Man, it feels like it's a hard thing to really think about that as you go to work 8 hours a day or more or less, and then you go to school, and you're doing all this stuff during the day, and then sometimes you might only spend half an hour with God a day. But you can pray as you're at work. You can set examples at work or at school. You can shine God's light at work. Every single hour of the day is living for God, and that's what God wants for us. So take delight in the Lord, and He will give your heart's desire. That's Psalm 37:4. Taking delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Devote yourself in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. That's my Bible. Because of my devotion to God, I feel like I am secure in myself. I'm committed to spending time with God every single day. I am 22. I am married to Meredith Thornton, the best looking girl on the planet. I'm committed to church every week. I'm committed to life group every week. I'm committed to reading the Bible every day. I love my life. I have great family, and I know who I am. I know who I am, and that is such an important thing in life, to know who you actually are. And I feel all of that has come to me because I've devoted myself to God. Because I am devoted to Jesus, how does it affect my life? It affects my life hugely. Hugely in all the great things. Because I know whatever happens in my life, Jesus has got my back. He blesses me every day. My life just gets better and better and better every single day. There are hard things that comes. But man, when you pull out of those things, it just gets better and you get stronger. Your heart is stronger. Just everything just gets better when you devote yourself to God. For me, life is just awesome. I'm just loving it. Loving it. Married for 2 months. In 3 days. Just planted in the best church, I think, in the Illawarra. I don't want to say there's no bad churches or nothing. That's how I feel. I've got great people to look up to. I've got my brother that I always look up to. Woo! I just feel like I've just devoted myself to God, and God's placed everything around me. And it says, as it's take delight in the Lord, and He'll give you all your desires. That's from devotion. If you want it, devote it. Devote yourself, devote your life to Jesus every day. Don't do a lazy 3 days a week. Then your heart's desires won't come. You got to devote yourself every single day. Don't miss out on what God has for you. The things I do to stay devoted to Jesus. Every day I thank God for everything He's done in my life. Every day I read the Bible. Every day I pray for the needs of myself and the needs of other people around the world. Every day I expect Jesus to move in my life. These are the things that you just need to do. Simply just worship God every day. Pray, read your Bible, spend some quality time with God. Look up to the right people. That's a very important one. Ask for advice off the right people. Stay devoted to Jesus as much as you possibly can. That's what I've got down in my notes. I've got a minute left. So next we got this guy coming up. And let me tell you that he is devoted. That Hugo, I feel like I might not know him like so personally that I know that he devotes himself every single day in his bedroom to God, because I'm not that close to him, but I'm pretty sure that he does. But he is devoted to the church. Two life groups a week, youth on a Friday, singing Sunday mornings. He was going to sing tonight, preaching tonight, and on the door. Man, Hugo is someone that is devoted to the church and is devoted to Jesus. So whatever he has to say, listen up, because he's got some good advice coming.
Thanks, mate. I'll tell you what Mitch is devoted to that I forgot the last couple of days. Chapstick. I'm sitting there and my lips are getting dry. Maybe that's because, you know, your brain knows you're going to speak and then you start licking your lips. Now they're all dry. But yeah, that's a good tip, chapstick, especially as coming into winter and getting windy. Also, I'm not devoted to Apple, so I don't have an iPad. I have printed out notes. Cool. God, I just pray over the next few minutes, you just speak through me, Lord, and you just open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, and just bless this time and these words. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was at my sister's place on Wednesday night. I messaged her like the day before, said, hey, can I crash at your place in Sydney? She said, okay. So, and in her bathroom, which is funny, I thought this should be in the kitchen. She has this verse, Matthew 4, verse 4. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I'm reading that, I'm like, that's a cool verse. Should be in the kitchen, but it's in the bathroom, but that's all right. And I just started meditating on what do I live on? Like, what does Hugh Cowling live on 7 days a week? So I jotted down a few things. I can't get by without lots of muesli bars and fruit every day for breakfast, because I'm a quick breakfast person, sometimes in the car, sometimes at work. Obviously, then I can't live without my car. Gets me to work, gets me to church, everywhere. I generally can't get by without some caffeine, so I prefer coffee. But, you know, my boss loves the energy drinks like V, and it's chronic. It's really bad. I could get by without Thai food, but I really like Thai food, so I put that down. I don't think I could get by without Triple J. Just going to throw that out there. I really enjoy the variety of music. 8 hours sleep. Some people say 7 hours is all you need, but I really think if you know you need more sleep, then, you know, make time for that sleep. And What did Arnie say? 6 hours is enough? Sleep faster, yeah. That guy, he's very devoted to his weightlifting, so 6 hours is all he could sleep. And then I thought, a lot of my life is devoted to work. I work for an internet startup company. So we haven't been around very long. We don't make much money. So everyone works overtime to keep the business alive and to keep working out actually what we're going to do, and what products we're going to sell, and what customers we're going to target. So I spend a lot of time, and I guess, in a way, I live on that. Like, that becomes a part of who you are, which is pretty crazy. And I didn't even have relationships in my notes, but then my girlfriend Grace came over this afternoon, and I thought, I think some people do live on relationships. Like, they really depend on family and friends, or girlfriends, boyfriends, wives, husbands. So I think that's a big part as well. And then I asked Grace what she lives on, and she said she really lives on magazines, because, you know, we were talking about just things that you actually spend a lot of time doing. And I said, like, what kind of magazine? She's like, oh, they're not trashy, you know, they're just like cooking magazines and fashion magazines. And yeah. And I think, coming back to that verse about, like, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, I feel like that verse is saying that the simple things, these everyday things like food and shelter and, you know, toys and electronics and transport, there's so many things like in this world that are necessary for us to live by, but we shouldn't like live on them. We shouldn't depend on them. They're helpful for living, but man and woman, we don't live our Christian lives as God wanted us to without the Word of God. I think that's the real point. And so when we're munching on that Word of God, the bread, His Word, that's when we're starting to live and God's actually speaking to us. And then I thought about, why bread? Like, why did that verse, I think it's originally from, is it Isaiah? And then Jesus is quoting Isaiah. Why bread? And you know what? You have to digest bread to get the nutrients from it, right? You can't just eat it and then you're all good. Like, it takes a little bit of time. And so that's my next point. Do you digest the Word of God in your devotion? Are you just reading the Bible going, that's a cool verse, I'm done? Are you actually taking a bit of time going, what's God got here? Like, what does this really mean to me? We have to digest that. And it's the same when hearing from God. Just to sit down and reflect. And there's another verse in Isaiah. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I felt like that verse basically says God spends time thinking. God has thoughts, therefore He thinks. So He spends time thinking. It might only take Him like a fraction of a second to come up with a billion thoughts, because we're talking about the God of the universe here. But He spends time thinking. So should we. We should really spend time thinking about His thoughts, because they're higher than our thoughts, right? So if He has a thought, we should really pay attention to that. And His thoughts are all through the Bible. It's just full of it. Lots of God's thoughts and words and His heart is all in that Bible. And we need to take that time to digest and reflect on it. And that's something I think God revealed to me over the last couple of weeks in my devotional time. Yeah, we can't immediately understand everything in the Bible. So take some time or, you know, talk to the people in your life group about that verse that you've just read. So besides eating the Word of God, there's also drinking. Not Coke Zero, as some like to. The disciples, talking about Jesus and the disciples, I think they had a pretty awesome time when Jesus was around. Like, they probably would have lived day to day, I think, in that idea of like living on, like every day going, oh, what's happening today? They're like, where's Jesus going? What miracles is He doing? What is He going to teach? I feel like the disciples would have had this day-to-day, that's how they existed. Like, that was their fuel of being around each other and being around Jesus. And the miracles. And even just socializing and eating together. But Jesus said to them in John chapter 7, verse 33, He said, "I will be with you only a little longer. Then I will return to the one who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me. And you cannot go where I am going." And I think that would have been pretty hard for the disciples, because they're really like attached to this guy. They're living off Jesus, really. Like, He's their mentor and everything. And He's like, "I'm only going to be around a little while longer, guys." And I think at that point, you got to wonder how many disciples would be devoted to Jesus after He's gone. Jesus had to leave something behind for them to really keep going, for them to keep being inspired and motivated. So compelled. So what would they live on after He left? It's like, you know, if there were no more muesli bars in the world, what would I live on? I'm going to have to go and search for something else. So if they were only devoted to Jesus as a man, as a human being, and to each other's friendships, I feel like they wouldn't have come very far. So everything that Jesus did with the disciples, like the teachings and the miracles, they're all great to live by. But it wasn't everything, because Jesus wasn't staying around. And one day, He got up in the temple, and I found this verse pretty amazing just because how bold it would have been. Jesus said, I think there was a festival, so there would have been heaps of people around, heaps of religious leaders, His disciples. There would have just been lots of townspeople. And he boldly stands up and says, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Yeah. So if you're sitting there and this guy just goes, anyone who's thirsty, come to me. Like, I think it's a pretty crazy statement. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. And then he's talking about the scriptures, which a lot of people would have known about. Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. He's telling people, if you want living water of God, it's going to come from, you know, it's going to come from your heart through believing in me. And I think that's crazy, just the way he did that. But that was the point. It wasn't just the word of God, it was also the Spirit of God. And I think that's something in your devotional time you've got to reflect on as well. Not just read and think, that's good, I've got a little bit of word of God in me. But like, what does God's Spirit want you to know as well? And that comes through that digesting and meditating and praying, as Mitch was saying. So he's basically saying, anyone who knows that their life is dry and bitter, dull or pointless, painful, that thirst, that, you know, you could change that word thirsty to be anything bad in your life, anything where you're struggling with and you're frustrated and you're angry and you're annoyed and, you know, you're always snapping at people or you just feel like you have no direction. Jesus is saying, if you're feeling that, come to me and I'm going to quench that. And then I think through the eating and the drinking, that's when we start to realize that's what we need to live on. Not all those other things in our life, they're helpful and they're great. But to be a devoted person, like this is what we have to be citizens of heaven on earth, I think. And my last point is, so your diet at the moment, how does it make you feel? Because we don't always have awesome weeks. I love what Mitch is saying. He's like encouraging you, you know, 7 days a week, do devote yourself as much as you can. But things come up, things get in the way, and you might look back in the week and go, yeah, I didn't get enough bread, I didn't get enough water, and I'm not feeling 100% with God. And so then we know that what we're living on, what we've been living on, isn't quite right. Our diet is a bit mixed up, and our devotion has been affected. But I think when you know your diet has been good, God's going to give you a peace. At least in my life, I feel like when I'm really devoted to God, he gives you so much peace and you can really relax in his presence and you don't feel that crazy thirst or that burning or that pain that the world will just overcome you with if you keep living by, you know, your car or your iPhones or all those other things that distract you. And in Isaiah, I didn't get the verse, but I read this one this week and that's when I just meditated for ages. Isaiah declares, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. And I love it. It's like, it will be. So the fruit, the result of spending that devotional time will be peace. And I just felt that as soon as I sat down on my bed and I was just reading that, I'm like, wow, I feel peace straight away just by spending time with God. Because that is a righteous thing. Righteousness. Yeah, the fruit of, I guess, obeying God and doing what God wants for you is a peace. So I was amazed at how much peace I got. Getting right with God really provides that overwhelming peace. So if you're wondering, how do I know, like, if I'm having enough bread or having enough of God's Spirit, check the peace levels in your heart. That's my word. And think, you know what, I'm not quite at ease with whatever's happening in my life. I'm going to spend some more time with God today and tomorrow and the day after. Because Jesus said, you know, your troubles are but light and momentary. So I think when you've got that peace of God, you'll recognize those troubles and those things. You'll be like, yeah, but they're light. They're not deep issues and they're not going to last long. Because that peace that grows in you won't be impacted by these day-to-day little issues. Yeah. Nothing will take that peace away once you've really got it right in there and you keep feeding it with God's word and time with God and prayer. How did I do for time? I've still got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to throw it to Andy, though. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
That's so good. Come on. It's people getting stuff out of this. I love it. It's so good. Guys are awesome. How good are these guys, hey? It's just such solid guys. And it is... It is truly, like, because these guys are both in the youth team and they're every Friday night. And it is truly a privilege to do youth with those two guys because I know that I can just always count on them and rely on them no matter what. And they always bring a good attitude and they always bring a good heart and they're always ready to go and they've already always got a word, they're always prepared. And you know, it's just so good. But the encouragement is that, like, each and every one of us can be that person. And all of us are called to be that person. And it's like, I think sometimes you can look at someone who's doing well, and like Mitch gets up and he talks about how amazing his life is, and you can just go, oh yeah, but that's not like me. But don't be like annoyed at someone else for things going well, but hear the message in it, yeah? Like go, yeah, like if I devote my life to God, then He will bless me. That's a promise from God. It's not just a good idea from Mitch. It's God's word in your heart. So, like, I learn from these guys and from everybody. And I just please, like, don't look at somebody else who's doing well and be like bitter about that. But look at people who are serving God and doing stuff that's great and think that's who God's calling me to be. There are things that I can learn. There are things that I can get from that and be spurred on to do more, yeah? Come on, be encouraged by it, not disheartened by it. I hope that makes sense. And oh, it was really good. And thanks for thanking me, Mitch. I thought that was nice. I was going to say on that, because, and this might sound weird because, you know, he thanked me, but I like that there's a spirit of honor there. And I'm not talking about, like, you saying that about me. Like, please don't think that's what I'm saying. But I think we as a church could build more of a spirit of honor for each other. And where we respect each other, where we honor each other, where the things that we say about each other lift each other up. And there's always things where you, like, there are challenges and there are things that you want to improve on and stuff like that. But let's be, like, supporters of each other and fans of each other and friends for each other. And let's give honor, you know, where honor's due. And let's lift each other up, amen? Good, I'm already out of time and I haven't even said anything. I just want to just read this passage it's from Corinthians, it's written by Paul. And I am always amazed, like, you know, if you read the New Testament, you read a lot of what Paul says. That's just how it is. He wrote most of it, and a lot of it is about his life. And I'm amazed by Paul. And just, I guess I've just been thinking about how much he understood what Jesus had done for him. And what that meant for the way that he lived his life. And, like, the challenge for me and for all of us, I think, is to get that same understanding. To understand how much Jesus has done for me and how much he has done for us. And how my life should reflect that. And what that should mean in my life. And you know, like, Jesus dying for you, that should do something in your life. That should change something in your life. That should change everything in your life. You shouldn't look at it and go, oh, do I really need to spend more time with God? Do I really need to read my Bible every day? But you should go, Jesus died for me. Like, that end of the equation. Like, you don't just, like, you can't work out any other way, like, any other solution than to just give him your all. It's a no-brainer. And so, 1 Corinthians 15, I'll just read this real quick. It says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what you believed." And I was reading that and just thinking about, Like Paul straight away, he just brings it back and he says, there is this thing that you have been taught from the beginning. And that's Jesus. That's the truth of Jesus dying for you and rising again. And he talks about it and he explains it. And he says, but that doesn't mean anything if you don't hold on to it firmly and you don't keep going. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. And then he keeps going. He says, so I try harder, but not me, but the grace in me. And sometimes I read that and I think it's like a paradox. Like, is this kind of like, how does that work? If it's like, it's, I have to try hard, but it's God's grace. And I was just thinking today how it's not, those things aren't opposed, but they are like in synergy. So it's not that if I don't try that I don't receive the grace of God, but it's if I try and I do my best, the grace of God enables me to do that, and they work together. It's not like, and it's not either or, yeah, it's both, and working together and in together. And Paul, he understands that and he gets that, and that's what he's saying. And he's saying you can't be lazy, you can't just sit back, you've got to do everything that you can, but you have to understand that it's only by the grace of God that we are saved, and it is only by the grace of God that we are able to do anything, and that Jesus is the reason that you are here, and it's the reason that you will have eternity in heaven, it's the reason that you exist. And it's just like we got to get that. Yeah. And he says in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I think it's great. Paul has this horrible circumstance, and instead of getting angry at God and blaming God and being bitter about the church and all of that stuff that is a natural reaction, he looks at it and says, God has moved in my life and he has enabled this, and he has breathed on me and he has saved me and he has delivered me and he will keep on delivering me. And this situation and this circumstance that has happened in my life, I can just look on to see a testimony of the grace of God. And I think that's so good. Like, to understand that in our life will transform it. Like, to understand that those times where you feel like you're not really close to God, or it's hard, or you've just got to put in the effort just to get up every day and read the Word and soak it in and spend time with God. When you do that stuff, even though, like, everything else seems to be going wrong, they're testaments to God's, like, purpose in your life and his grace in your life. And that's when you see the real devotion come out. You know, it's not going to be the devotion where everything is fantastic and it's amazing and God's really just, every time you even think about praying, God speaks something to you. But it's the times where you feel dry, but you devote yourself, that God brings that water and he fills you up. And that's devotion, yeah? Devotion is, you know, genuinely trusting God with your life. Not just when you feel like it, but all the time, yeah? And so that was just my thoughts. For me, I think devotion is just about responding to the love and grace of God with everything that I can. And what else would I do but live my whole life for Jesus when I know what he's done for me? It's that simple. Really, it is. And that's why, like, I love what Mitch said and what Hugh said, because it's backed up by lives that just live for God because of what he did for them and who he is. So you can listen to that and you can trust that. I'm going to pray as we finish. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, for everything you've done for us. God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you've called us according to your purpose, God. I thank you that it's by your grace that we are saved, and it's your grace that enables us to be devoted to you. And God, I pray that you will just stir that in our hearts, God, and Lord, we would put aside the excuses and the attitudes, but and just devote ourselves to you, God, that we would spend time in your word, we would spend time in worship, we would spend time just soaking in what you're trying to say to us, listening to you, God, that our walk with you would not be one-sided or wouldn't be a shopping list of needs when we pray, God, but that we would listen to you. We would hear your voice more clearly, God. We would see the things that you are putting in front of us to do, God. And Lord, I thank you that your promise is that if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of our heart, God, that you want to bless us and you want us to succeed and you want to see people living for you, God, and you want to pour out blessing on our lives. God, you're so gracious to us and so forgiving, and it's just incredible, honestly. God, I pray that we would just understand what Jesus did for us. And God, that we would live our lives in as a response to that, God, and not about religion or law or anything like that, but our devotion would be a response to your grace. I want to pray with people tonight. If I don't know, either you feel like you've never given your heart to God and you've never said, yep, I am a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I don't just mean like you attend church so you're a Christian, but I mean you follow Jesus with your life. And you look at what he did and what he said, and you want to follow that, and you understand that it's not just about Jesus the man, but it's Jesus the Son of God who died for you and rose again and beat death and took your sin on the cross. If you want to live for him and start that maybe for the first time, then I want to pray with you. And if you feel like you need to just devote yourself again, and maybe all it's going to take is you to get up in the morning and open your Bible, like, and you just feel like you just need to commit to that and you need to rededicate to that and to say, yeah, every day, God, I'm going to meet with you. Every day I'm going to live for you. Then like, I want to pray for both of those groups of people. So just open your heart, and it's just, that's between you and God. Like, just give that to him and show him that. And I'm going to pray, God, I just thank you so much for every single person here tonight. God, that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us, that you have called us to do incredible things, God, and that you've done so much for us, God, and you have won the victory. And God, we want to devote ourselves to you. God, we want to live lives that honor you. We want to live lives that are for your purpose and your kingdom, God. We want to dedicate everything that we do to you, and God, live on your word and your spirit in our lives every single day. And so God, I pray for every person whose heart is open, everyone who's praying that prayer in their heart and in their life, God, that you would just fill them with your love and your grace, God, that you would just enable us to do that and to fulfill the things that we are dedicating ourselves to, God, and that, God, we thank you that it's just by your grace that we are saved, and we want to accept that, God, tonight. We're just going to pray this prayer together before we finish. It'll come up on the screen. So if you prayed that you felt like that was for you, then I want you to pray it, but we're all going to pray this together. So it's up on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Hugh. Thanks, Mitch. Awesome job. So good. Why would you not come on a Sunday night? Really?